If I may ask you, show of hands, how many of you are working to help improve the health of a community? I'll just say any community at this point. How many of you are working that? Okay. How many of you, leave your hands up, right? How many of you work really, really hard? Oh, two hands, okay. All right, now how many of you, keep your hands up, please. How many of you are seeing the gains in health within your communities where you're working really, really hard that you'd like to see? That's the point. That's the point, which is how is it that we can improve the health? What is quality improvement all about? And quality improvement is a means to an end. The end is better health, better performance, and QI is a technique. So when people hear QI in your organization, or maybe it's you, how do you react? Is it, oh good, or is it, oh God? Well, there's a lot of resistance to quality improvement. There are really three forms of resistance. One is, I don't get it. I don't understand what this is all about. Can you take me on a test drive? Then there's the, I don't like it. You know, it's a different way of doing stuff. I'm used to doing it this way, and I'm gonna do everything I can to sort of make it so this doesn't happen. And then there's a, I just don't like you. And think about that, trust. All right, how many times has the manager come in, new boss, whatever, new idea, let's do it for a couple of weeks. Let's do something else a couple of weeks. And so there's a trust factor there. You have to build up that trust to get the motivation to really move things along. And this is key because understanding this within your organization, understanding it within your community, with your partners, is essential because resistance is, research will show, resistance is the number one cause for major change not occurring. And so understanding the resistance that may be within your public health system and addressing it is really, really key. Now, why is quality important? Quality important. Quality improvement and performance improvement so important today. I mean, just look at the newspaper headlines that have been out there. Everything from, you know, life expectancy drops for U.S. women in about 1,000 counties in the United States from 1980 to now, we've seen life expectancy drop, first time ever. Gaps in life expectancy widen from rich to poor, majority to minority populations. And so we're seeing tremendous, tremendous needs out there. We need to improve the health of our communities. And this is where, again, I believe quality improvement comes in quite handy. Okay. Performance standards. Liza mentioned the reports. So you go through your performance standards process and you get your reports and you get lots of different data. This is just one example of a page of data that you get. You see the 10 essential services, your score for each service. That's nice. Now what? And the now what is, well, one thing I would highly, highly recommend that Liza brought up, and you talked about priorities too, Melody, is to use some of these optional, and the whole thing is optional, but these are optional optionals. Use this priority rating scoring system for yourselves, because if you put in your priorities, then you get a report back that has both the assessment results and your priorities. I think that's essential. And also look at the agency contribution results. It's important to know the contribution of the governmental agency within a community. These two things, I think, are just key to really getting to a quality and performance improvement set of activities. So, I can't remember if it was Liza or Melody who talked about high priority, low score, low priority, high score. And so really what you want to do is you look at your scores like here, community health profile, priority rating 10, score was minimal. Well, it suggests that maybe some additional work may be needed. Then there are other areas where the score may be real high, but the priority may be low, and that gives you some idea of where you may be able to switch your attention, turn your attention from one to the other. And so you want to look at, can we move from, you know, low priority, high performance to really focusing on the high priority, low performance? Sometimes it may even involve a change in the way you allocate resources or time or energy. You don't necessarily want a high score to become a low score, but you may be able to do something to maintain that with a little bit less attention. Melody mentioned Plan, Do, Check, Act. So this is something that we believe as the performance, the National Public Health Performance Standards partners, is really critical to the quality improvement efforts is you go through your assessment, you prioritize, and now you want to move towards improvement, and Plan, Do, Check, Act is a quality improvement approach. It's a cycle. You'll notice the first one, plan changes aimed at improvement matched to root causes. Matched to root causes. How many times have you been in meetings where the problem's identified? Okay, let's work on the solutions. And that oftentimes gets us in trouble. We want to have a process here. You want to go through performance standards, look at your priorities, say this is what we're going to work on. Now let's really get at the root causes of why is it that we've not made progress in this area? Why is it that our score is a little bit lower? And then you go through the cycle. You figure that out. You develop some approaches, some solutions now. You try it out. You check to see if it works. You may tweak it. You may go through the cycle a couple of times, and then you actually have, you act upon it in a bigger way. So that's sort of a very, very quick, basic plan, do, check, act approach. There are seven steps to it that we've come up with. There are other steps that other people have come up with. But this is key, I believe, to the whole process. So are you out on your own with quality and performance improvement? No, you're not. There are some resources that the partners have put together, and this is one that we've worked on in particular, but all of the partners contribute to all of these aspects. And you can go to a website, and it'll be on a slide. You go to the National Public Health Performance Standards online resource center website, and what you can do is you go there, and let's say you're a state, and you went through the assessment, and you scored lower than you wanted to, and it's a high priority for model standard 2.2. And so you just note state from the pull-down menu, you note the model standard from the pull-down menu, and then you end up with a whole variety of resources that can help you make improvements in that particular model standard. In addition, if you wanted to see all the resources for all of the different model standards, you could see them as well. I suggest that this site is a good place to go travel. There are lots of others out there where you could get good quality and performance improvement advice, but this one is designed to help you with what you've identified as priorities and what you feel you want to improve in, and then you could go here and see some annotations and then go right to those resources. Well, does this stuff work? That's a key question. And what's great is that through the efforts of CDC, the efforts through the National Network of Public Health Institutes, through the Multi-State Learning Collaborative, through NACHO, through ASSO, I mean, a variety of efforts that are out there today, we are seeing successes. Did I fail to mention the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation? They're also a major backer of the quality improvement efforts. We should really be grateful to them because right now, there's a lot going on in quality improvement, and a lot of it really was jump-started through way back the Turning Point Initiative, which resulted in the Multi-State Learning Collaborative 1, and now we're up to 3, and we have 16 states, is that right, Jennifer? Yeah, 16 states involved in MLC3, which is wonderful. So does it work? We are seeing successes. We've seen successes in, actually we were privileged to be involved in an activity in Orange County, Florida, where in a year's time, where they diagnosed some of the root causes to their syphilis problem, which end up being HR, turnover, and environment within the organization, when they fixed that, turnover went to zero, satisfaction went up, and their syphilis rate dropped by over 30% in less than 12 months by going through a quality improvement process. We've seen in this, several of these other examples come from Minnesota, from local health departments who've gone through QI activities, improving WIC clinic show rates, the rates actually increased, integrating data to improve immunization rates, there was a 6% increase there. One of my favorites is reducing health alert network testing time. This was one where in a health department, they went through a process mapping activity. They could see where what they were doing, how they were doing it, and it all of a sudden dawned on them, there was one person in particular, the key person responsible for the program, who was involved in so many reviews and so many testing activities that she was really only needed at the beginning and at the end. And when they saw that and they removed her from the other parts, 70% of her time was saved. 70%. Just think about that, what you could do with 70% of your time. So she could finally go back to the other five jobs and now only spend 230% of her time in the health department. But, you know, it's key. So from health improvement to the community, to process improvement within the agency, to higher show rates within the clinic, to, you know, there's a whole variety of benefits to quality improvement and performance standards. The performance standards program helps you begin to better understand what is happening in your public health system, how well it's performing. Some of the resources are the user guide. I think, Liza, did you mention the user guide? This is a very, very valuable resource. For those of you who've gone through Performance Standards version 1, the user guide is very different today. So if you've not looked at it recently, please go there. It has everything from how to do the assessment to how to go through quality improvement. It's great. The next two resources are related to evidence. When you're going through looking at solutions, so now we have the root causes diagnosed, we know what we want to focus on. How do you integrate evidence into your discussion of solutions? The Guide to Community Preventive Services is one. And then a resource that you may or may not be familiar with is the Healthy People 2010 Information Access Project. That was a joint effort with the National Library of Medicine to create pre-formulated live searches related to each of the Healthy People objectives. So you can go to this website, you go to a particular Healthy People objective, you click on the search button, and a live search is done, and you'll end up with about 50 abstracts of articles that can help you with interventions around that particular health objective. It's a great resource to go to. And then, if you want to take it to the next level and you see some resources there that are valuable, you have your regional medical libraries that you can go to. One of their charges at regional medical libraries is to help the public health community. A little known fact, but it's true, and they really want to help. NATO Model Practices is another place you can go and look for some evidence about what people are saying works in the field. Performance Standards Online Resource Center, I mentioned. The Public Health Infrastructure Resource Center is something that we do at the Public Health Foundation, where we try to have resources there for quality and performance improvement, performance management, and other things. Again, you can go there and take a look. And there are a lot of things out there at this point in time which will help us with improvement. Last thing I'll say is the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. First, or maybe it was the second slide I showed, was what the health situation looks like in the United States. It doesn't look too good. We've got to do some things differently. Doing performance standards, prioritizing what it is that we wish to be doing and the changes we wish to see, applying quality and performance improvement techniques, taking the action and improving the health is something that we can do in public health. We need to change a little bit of how we do things, but we can do it. So thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Ron. Once again, let's thank this panel for their fine presentations. Thank you. Well, this session is about breaking barriers, and you all raised your hands about the standards, so you know something about it, but you're having some issues around use or application or even consideration. So what are some questions on your mind that you can raise, either about something presented here or something that's sitting in your desk as an issue or problem you need to resolve and you'd like some advice and counsel on that? Can I get some examples from you? What's a question? Yes, ma'am.
On your Public Health Infrastructure Resource Center side, will that help a local level health department figure out how to create the performance management system? Or will it just, what is on there that can help us beyond just looking at QI tools?
There's a link to the various Turning Point performance management documents, and there are tools in there. So most of it's tools and methods. As far as I know, there are not tutorials on how to do this, if that's what you're looking for.
Tutorials or maybe links to resources of people who have created a performance management system versus just QI projects, disjointed.
Oh, that's a great question.
But I can tell you an example of a place. Ohio has an online tool that local health departments use to report on standards and measures. And so it provides you with a documentation tool and a way to interject your own individual measures as you go along. So you could get that from the Ohio Department of Health. And Bill Snoffer is the guy's name, S-N-O-U-F-F-E. ER. And that's an online tool that's been developed. You could take that code and just adopt it in your own jurisdiction. Laura.
Just to tag on to what Mom said, there is on that site a performance management self-assessment tool, and it asks a series of questions about what the agency has in place or does related to each of the four quadrants of performance management: standards, measures, reporting, and quality. And so that's a good tool for you to assess what your gaps may be in having a performance management system. It's a good way to get started.
Good question. Other questions, issues that you're focusing on, worried about? Yes, ma'am.
I recently was working with a group of people on the assessment in North Counties, and one of the problems or issues, I don't know how we ever straightened it out, but was not one group was looking at everything so globally that they could never come up with a score, and then the other group was having a hard time getting away from focusing on the health department. Is there any way that you could do the process or some suggestions for starting off so that you can have everybody kind of on the same page of how we're rating things? That's probably one of the, in the full sense of groups often do the storming, norming. There's a lot of storming that can happen at the beginning of this because you really have to bring folks to the same understanding of what this process is all about and how to approach thinking about these questions and the concept of a public health system. And so that's why even thinking about from question to question who's doing what, it's so, it can be a little subjective or a lot subjective. And so we try to develop tools both through the user guide, through assessment meeting guides, that can help facilitators try to orient participants and bring everyone as close to the same page as possible in terms of how do they think about what's being done and how you approach this. Because, I mean, there are some people who would say, and Melody used a great example of saying the community health profile, and turns out they're doing it, but half the group didn't even know that they were doing it. So they weren't going to give themselves the best response possible, but they still want to give themselves credit because something exists. Well, we've seen some sites say, well, no, not everyone in the room knew about it. We're a no. And other sites will say, if it's done, it's done. It doesn't matter if it never left someone's office. And so thinking about different aspects of the question, not just is it being done, but the breadth of partners that might be involved, given the type of activity it might be, the diffusion across different program areas, if you're thinking about, you know, general global question on health education. It's not just health education, it's health education thinking about what might be occurring in tobacco and tobacco prevention, you know, so going across different areas that might be, there. We may have different activities. There are different cuts on all these different types of questions and standards, and so this does sometimes take a little bit of discussion. We've really seen, in sitting through a lot of these assessments and also talking with folks about how they've approached it, often going through the first essential service is often the longest because that's when people are really figuring out the rules of the game and how they think it ought to be approached. And then you really pick up a rhythm as you really get an understanding of how to go through this and everyone really seems to be thinking about it differently. But I'm not giving great advice other than this is definitely something we've seen every site have to work through, and the facilitator or facilitators, plural, really giving, try to get people to the same place through ground rules and setting expectations is the best way to do that.
Go ahead.
I think one thing that I recommend as well, and I hope this is okay, but is not doing the first essential service first. You know, they're in the book as 1 to 10, and I think if I were going to do it, I'd start off with 7 because it's more of a general. It's more of a general thing that people can see as involving all of them, rather than going to, when I do it again,
right.
And I think we did do that in the last couple because we had four counties we did.
Right.
But I think the number one one is very complicated and can get into a lot that takes forever just to, like she said, to get in the rhythm of things. So
yeah, and one is dry, of course.
Yeah.
Data doesn't really engage people to be excited about a whole day of this. Five, talking about developing policies and plans, where you're talking about broad community-based plans. It's very tangible, yet everyone can see how they might be involved in a broad community health improvement plan, I think, is yet another one in addition to seven. That's often a good place to get people thinking about how to approach this.
And one thing I heard you saying is how to sort this out. And so there's like four buckets you can sort these things into. One is policy. One is the system outside the governmental public health system, sorting solutions or problems to be tackled in that way. One is within the health agency itself. And then one is on the parking lot to be addressed later. So when you're sorting things out, sorting them into policy, outside the governmental jurisdiction, within the health department, and parking lot are four nice ways to really sort these. So it gets you off the dime. You could say, okay, we're going to put that on the parking lot, or we're going to put that in a policy. Now let's go on and look at what those folks outside the jurisdiction can do and help us, what those in the health department have to do, et cetera. So.
Yeah.
Other comments? Yes, sir.
Just a question.
We did a lot of the parking lot thing. I mean, we could have sat there all day and discussed stuff. But we, you know, we said, can you live with this? Look, we had a bunch of significance. We had a bunch of moderates over here. Can we live with this? And most of the time they said yes. But then every once in a while somebody would say, no, I can't live with that. And we discuss a little bit more. But we just tried to keep them on track, and we used those parking lots. And we said, look, you have a very valid issue here, and we are concerned about what you're saying. But we can address this down the road at one of our committee meetings after this gets over.
Was there any preparatory work ahead of time in terms of getting this group to get their heads and hands around the notion of a system?
Yes, and that was the hardest thing for us. You know, the big buzzword this year is silos, and everybody seems to be working in those, but...
just this year.
Yeah. But anyway,
Towers of Excellence.
Yeah, that's what it is. Thank you. But that was probably the biggest issue, and we just kept the slide running, and I constantly throughout the performance standards was saying, remember, folks, this is not about what each one of us is doing. It's about what we're going to be doing as a group, and I just kept reiterating. So.
As she went around preparing, putting the group together, who all was going to be there, she spoke at a lot of different other meetings, and when she did that, she explained the public health system, so a lot of the participants came into it kind of expecting it to be about more than just the health department.
Yeah, and we did, like, I went anywhere anybody wanted me to talk. It was just like, I'd be on the phone going, hadn't you got a speaker that's not showing up this month or something? Can I come today? You know, and it's like, okay, come on, you know. But it was like we were trying to educate those people about all those issues. And I think they knew we were not the owners of that process. We just were the facilitators. So it was fun, a lot of fun.
Another question, comment, observation, worry, need. Well, if I can speak for the, go ahead.
I would like to say I have business cards with me. I'm not an expert, do not claim to be, but I've got a lot of information that I have gotten off of their website and in order to do the performance standards. And if I could be of any help to anybody in a simple kind of way, you're more than welcome to contact me at any time.
And I guess for those of you who have questions of the panel, they'll stick around for a few minutes. Again, I'd like to thank you for coming, and again, thank our panel for this presentation.